want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth! You can't handle the truth!
Dave Hodges is as mad as hell, and he's not gonna take it anymore. Is not so common. This is the Common Sense Show with Dave Hodges.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to another exciting edition of the Common Sense Show. This is Dave Hodges, your host, and flying co-pilot with me this evening is Katie Whalen, and we will have her health segment in the third hour. And at the end of the third hour, we're also going to have some interesting revelations about the 2016 election. In particular, we have uncovered some more things on Hillary Clinton, and we'll have even much more than that. In the second hour, we're going to be joined by John Cruise, and with the revelations of FBI Director Comey and his improprieties or lack of supervision when he was on the board of directors of HSBC, that's going to come out. And what's really going to come out is Angela Lynch and what I think is obstruction of justice. And John has a lot of the dirt. He was a senior vice president at HSBC. Ooh, yes, it's going to be sparks a-flying the whole night. And also in this first hour, and we'll get to these gentlemen in just a minute, are the producers of the great movie, I know the one I have given our highest endorsement to, Amerigeddon, excuse me, and Amerigeddon has been, well, I think they've exceeded expectations. I mean, they opened number two, and we'll get into all that, but the endeavor has not been without risk, and we're going to talk about that on the air with Mike Norris and Gary Haven, who will be joining us in just a moment. But first, I just want to remind everybody, in part, this first hour is brought to you by Steve Quayle of Renaissance Precious Metals. And as you know, I've converted a good amount of my cash into precious metals because I don't trust that the money's going to be there that much longer. And I'm sure that most reasonable people are reaching that same conclusion. And you're saying, what do I do? Well, I have the outlet for you. Call Steve. Low pressure, educational, informational. And if it's not right for you, he'll tell you. Call him at 406-586-4842. And by the way, Steve is also a great supporter of the movie Amerigeddon. Also, I want to talk about my favorite prepper. And that would be Bob Griswold. Bob Griswold of ReadyMadeResources.com. If you need anything for your prepping supply, Bob is your guy. Great prices. Been in business for almost 20 years now. He's been an advertiser on this show for well over two. And you know how many complaints we field about our advertisers? Zero. None. We've had none. Bob Griswold is the site for good prepping resources, including night vision, which is my favorite, body armor, which will soon be outlawed. So hurry and give Bob a call tomorrow, 1-800-627-3809. And finally, if these dire economic predictions, which I don't see how they're not true, come true, you're going to need food. You don't want to be enticed to cross the line into one of those camps simply because you didn't prepare. And you're almost out of time to prepare. A lot of us feel that we're in a real danger zone now between now and the election, with Trump gaining on, or passing, I should say, Hillary Clinton in the polls. And it seems like the Democrats can't get out of their own way. I look for the establishment to pull something. If they pull something, folks, food and water is going to be what you need first. How do you take care of that need? Well, go to Numana.com/Hodges. Again, that's Numana.com/Hodges. Well, we have, I'm not sure we have Gary on yet. Well, or Mike on yet. We have Gary, but we're going to have to work on that. Because I'm looking at my screen here. Anyway, let me bring Gary Haven on, the producer, starred in the movie Amerigeddon, and this movie really, in my opinion, has really exceeded a lot of people's expectations, not mine, because it's the right movie at the right time in the right political populist movement for it to come out. Gary, are you with us?
Yeah, Dave. I'm glad to be here.
Okay, great. I'm not sure that we have Mike yet. Let me work on that part of it on the flip side. But anyway, tell me in short, we know the movie got off to a great start. I know that that opened as a number two, I believe it was. And how's the movie doing now?
Well, we watched the movie May 13th in theaters in the southern U.S. And in the 30 theaters we're in, we were the number two movie in 27 of them. We beat the George Clooney movie, which I'm particularly proud of. So people actually went to the theater to see something that they benefit from. And, you know, we made the movie to make a difference. And as you've been warning people for years, and there's two points about this. One is there really is a threat from an electromagnetic pulse that could be detonated over this country by a number of our enemies, North Korea chief among them. And our government is doing nothing about it. And that brings a second point, which is, why is our government doing nothing about it? And we take the position that it's by design. There's a movement towards globalism, and the people in power in our country know that they need to diminish the United States in order for them to acquire global power. And so we make that point in the movie. And, of course, the movie's fun to watch, even though it's a disaster movie. But people learn about it because it's all fact-based. We quote all of the National Defense Authorization Act and the Executive Order 13603 and kind of explain it to the people watching. And we thought a dramatic movie would be more effective rather than D'Souza just did, which is a documentary. A dramatic movie, you can go and be entertained, and you can bring friends that may not be interested in the message, but teach them the truth that the government's here, but they're not here to protect you.
Well, you're right about that. In fact, I would even go a step further, Gary. From what I've seen from this administration and what I've learned from people who served in this administration, they're not only not there to protect us. In many cases, if you're an average middle-class American, they're out to get us.
Yeah, you know, there's so many things. I debated this with Alan Colmes on Fox News. And it was really kind of an easy debate because there's so many things that the government is deliberately doing to cause harm to the American people. And of course, it's all about creating chaos. You know, the old Hegelian dialectic. If you want to acquire power, you create a problem, and in providing the solution, you get the benefit. You know, no crisis should go to waste. As Rahm Emanuel said. So things like just the open border policy, you know, people coming across and being let in, releasing immigrant felons, some for really serious crimes, back into the population instead of deporting them. And, of course, the old unvetted Syrian immigration. You know, these things, for a thinking person, are just insane. And, you know, if you can't vet them, you can't let them. That's my new motto right now.
I love that.
I like to. Maybe I'll copyright it. Donald Trump said, you know, look, let's put this thing on pause. And I like that word. You know, until we can vet them. You know, Alan Combs said they're the most vetted immigrants of all. And I came back and I said, you know, Alan, you've been drinking your own Kool-Aid because the FBI testified in front of Congress that we cannot vet them. And they also testified that up to 10% of them are radicalized. So to move thousands of these people into our communities is a deliberate act of treason. And if you want to look up the definition of treason, it's either making war against your country or aiding and abetting those that do. And they, of course, have declared ISIS and others as enemies, although that's a whole other story. ISIS, pretty much most people now have figured out, is a creation of the CIA and the State Department. you know, we always need a boogeyman. And then to bring these, you know, to give up our freedoms, and to bring these boogeymen right into our communities is treason. And that's the word I would use for Obama and Hillary. And I tell you, most of the Republican Party, you know, we know the Democrats are bought and paid for. But what people need to wake up and understand is that the establishment Republicans are worse than the Democrats, because, as Cicero said, they're the enemy in the camp. They're the ones who are able to walk freely and get away with so many things because they pretend to be our friends. And I've been a big time Republican reporter, but I'm calling them out now. The establishment Republicans are worse than the Democrats because they pretend to be our friends.
Well, Gary, just look at their behavior during the Republican primary, where they repeatedly told us, you people don't matter. We don't care about what the primary election results say. We will tell you who the candidate is. So we saw that very, very clearly. But here's the bottom line. To me, I think the Democrats are worse, and I'll get into that in a minute, but the Republicans aren't without fault. There is no question about it. But if you look at the Democrats, Gary, I put a picture up on my website. Oh, gosh, I think it was early last week. No, it was right when the convention started. It was on the second day, and there were no flags in that entire arena. Not one. Not one American flag was there. But if you went outside, they had the flag of the PLO, and they had the flag of the old Soviet Union. I had no problem with that, but they sure didn't have American flags. And if you look at what the Democrats really stand for, it's unmitigated Soviet Union-style communism. The Republicans are fascists. So I guess maybe we should say which one is worse.
That's a good point. A lot of people don't understand the difference. Let me give a definition of you know, you've got free enterprise and democracy, which is where the private property is owned by citizens, and the ability to run a business is owned by individuals. Then you have fascism, which is people own the property, but they're told what to do, and the means of goods, of producing goods, are controlled by the government. And you really nailed that with the Republicans. And of course, you have socialism, and the next step there is communism. And that's where there is no private property, and the means to produce is controlled by the government. So you're right. There's a little bit of a battle between fascism and socialism. I'm afraid free enterprise is gone. And of course, the big battle, Dave, is the battle between globalism and nationalism. And Trump is the nationalist. And we see this in the UKIP party and with the Brexit. You see it with Marine Le Pen in France, Podemos in Spain. People are waking up. They know their countries have been stolen, and they're daring to stand against these authorities and take their country back. And that's the hope we have in Trump. I was disappointed with Pence because he is an establishment. And several, you know, Trump needs, his life is so in danger. And I don't know that putting a number two establishment person behind him, you remember what happened to Reagan.
Reagan Bush, yep. Yep.
Yep. When he was forced to choose George H.W., I think it was 3 weeks before they tried to kill him. And so I'm a little concerned that Trump picked Pence because it puts his life in danger. What do you think about that?
Well, I think there's absolutely zero question. In fact, let me give you two things that I actually put into one article, because I'm not a big believer in the coincidences. When Mitt Romney gave his scathing rebuke of Trump, anything but Trump, anybody but Trump, any way to stop Trump, 5 months ago, he did so in front of the Hinckley Institute, which was the family business background moniker of John Hinckley, the attempted assassin of Ronald Reagan. And here's what's really interesting. In fact, Katie actually made this first connection. The second connection was the release of Hinckley after all these decades. It had to happen in this time frame. And then on top of that, the very next day, Mitt Romney again gets up before that Hinckley background moniker and says, you know, Trump could actually win this. I think it was a way to CYA, because I nailed him on it, and that article was widely distributed. And I think that what we're seeing here is a thinly veiled assassination attempt. You better back off of these issues or else. That's how I saw it.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, I read all that material that you've written, and it was fascinating. And, you know, I think you mentioned in your article that, you know, the Hinckley family were old family friends of the Bushes, and that George W.'s brother was having dinner with the Hinckley family the night before or something. And, of course, Hinckley was had to be an MK Ultra mind control victim. You agree with that, don't you?
Yeah, absolutely. No,
but his reaction.
Yeah, do you know who his reaction was like when he was caught? It was like Sirhan, Sirhan. Didn't know where he was at. Disoriented. And then, of course, you have, forget the eyewitnesses at the Washington Plaza, kind of like the Dealey Plaza, where they said shots came from multiple directions. There was more than one assassin that day.
I'm from Texas, in the Dallas police shooting. You know, the first reports that came out, there were multiple shooters. They were they had them triangulized, and then, of course, the story ends up with the lone gunman who gets killed, so there's no witnesses. Man, I tell you, the American people are waking up to these false flags, which is a wonderful thing, and thanks in part to what you do and Steve and Alex Jones. American people are daring to look at evidence. You know, I have a counseling background like you, and you know, this normalcy bias that we all are inflicted with as a survival mechanism, you know, it keeps us from being able to look at evidence. And if we do see evidence, and the more vested we are in our status, the more creative we get in denying the obvious. But the American people are waking up, and that, you know, the Bible talks about that, the deception that God would put on us because we turn away from good. And a lot of Christians, a lot of evangelical Christians like me and you, are waking up the Christian community. And waking them up to Ted Cruz was something that I was pretty involved with. You know, I know him personally, and I was telling people, look, this guy's bought and paid for his wife's Goldman Sachs, and people are waking up. It's an exciting time right now, and the Trump movement is making a big difference. It kind of brings me back to my movie. I think my movie's doing so well because people are waking up, and you know, they realize their country's been stolen, and Trump gives us hope that if he's a real deal, and he's the only, you know, dog we got in this fight right now, so, you know, we're going to have to support him and hope that he stays alive and he stays true to his nationalism, his anti-globalist convictions. You know, Mageddon is a chance to help people see the truth that their country isn't there to protect them. In fact, it's setting them up for the greatest diminishing of this country that we'll ever have. You know, North Korea detonates a nuclear device, and there's two satellites today that go over the United States. And I asked Dr. Peter Pry, who's an expert on electromagnetic pulse, about those satellites. I said, do you really think there's a nuclear device on one of those North Korean satellites? And his answer was really stunning. He said, I can't believe we don't shoot them down. I can't believe we let those things fly over this country. So there's a good chance that twice a day our country could be set back into the 1800s. And according to the Congress of the United States, two different reports, 90% of the American people would die within 12 months from lack of water and sanitation and food, fuel, medicine. And so we depict that in the movie in a very effective way, and also how to prepare. And I know that you're very involved in encouraging people to prepare so that they can endure this in their families.
Well, listen, Amerigeddon nailed it in so many different ways. But one of the things that I want to give props to you and to Mike and the rest of your staff, is that Obama came out with an executive order on July 1st that basically gave UN quote-unquote peacekeepers the right to come into our country and subjugate our citizens with all necessary force. And you guys nailed it in the movie. The movie was released, you know, what, 6 weeks before that, but the writing of that script had to occur much earlier. You guys were so on top of that, and just as if it's depicted in the movie, Obama was right on cue.
You know, I was committed to truth. I didn't want to Hollywoodize anything. I wanted to, and I tell you what, the truth is more fascinating than anything Hollywood could come up with. And you know, the UN Small Arms Treaty was part of that, that Kerry signed illegally without the consent of the Senate, that allows those UN troops that, that can come into our country to maintain order in the event of a and it was worded to not be anything serious. It could be an economic disaster or whatever. And that Small Arms Treaty that he signed gives the UN authority to take away our weapons. So not only can they come in and subjugate the American people, but under that treaty that that Kerry signed, they are authorized to remove our weapons from us.
Well, they can also remove us from our home. You know, let me digress for a second, because this is along the same theme. And I've written a lot about Executive Order 13603, a lot about this.
Yeah.
And in that, just if someone who's listening in has not heard me talk about that very briefly, it's the ability for the government to enforce slave labor at their request. And they don't call it slave labor. They call it unpaid consultants, but it's the same thing. But more importantly, to the point I'm going to make here, is they can control all food and water at any time of their choosing. There doesn't have to be a national emergency declared. Now, let's take what's going on in Venezuela, a contrived food shortage. And I've documented how we have this in our background, and we have all the legal mechanisms in place to basically take control of all food, including what's in your pantry. And they're now doing that in Venezuela, but they've gone one step further. It looks like they're implementing 13603 on a beta test trial situation, because now it's announced that the Venezuelan government is enslaving people for labor.
Yeah.
It's happening. Right. It's going to, if it's happening there, Gary, I can't believe this is not a beta test, and they're going to bring it here. And unfortunately, as entertaining and as well done and accurate as your movie is, God help us, this is all going to come true.
You know, they don't do things arbitrarily. You know, another good example of a beta test, I have a good friend in Cyprus, and she just sold her house, put 500,000 euros in the Cypriot bank, and then about a week later, the bank went on holiday. And, of course, it's been 3 years now, I believe, and she's never seen any significant amount of that money returned to her. And what I'm talking about, of course, is the bail-in. And the bail-in was a dry run, and the G20 tasked the bail-in as a policy. And even Obama has said, you know, we're not going to use taxpayer money ever again to bail out a bank. Yeah, what they're going to use is your money and my money. And people will say, well, there's FDIC coverage. Well, guess what? You're going to be getting bank stock. And that bank stock is going to void the FDIC coverage because you're getting an asset for it. Now, if you try to go to the grocery store and feed your family with bank stock, you're going to be in trouble. But this is all being practiced for a point in the future. And by the way, people need to go and Google Executive Order 13603 and read it to believe it. It is unbelievable that we live in a country that would allow a president to write an executive order that literally gives the government, and by the way, it's worded interestingly, in the event of an emergency. Now, that doesn't mean that we have, you know, massive earthquakes or solar flares or something. It can mean anything, and it was worded purposely for that. And I'll give you an example. FDR, Roosevelt, when he took the gold back in 1932, he did it through an executive order based on an economic emergency. And it allowed him to force Americans to give up their gold. And it was fascinating. It was 10 years in prison and a $100,000 fine, which at the time was more than $1 million, if you were caught with gold. And this is America. And so he did it under just by writing a letter and declaring an economic emergency. So Obama has the power to declare an economic emergency and enact all of these unbelievable things that he's written in 13603, including slavery, by the way, as you mentioned. You know, and what's interesting about it was the Department of Labor that ran the program, not the Department of Defense or Homeland Security. And, right. and that's a clue that they're going to enact slavery. And if that isn't a constitutional violation, what is it? The Republicans didn't utter a word about this, which is just incredible. But people need to Google that and read it to believe it. And then they need to confront their congressional representatives for standing by and allow slavery to be written into law by a president in the event of any kind of emergency. And by the way, we will have an economic emergency, if not many other types.
No, I think there's no question about that. In fact, I'm going to give myself a plug here. Make it simple. You do not have to go to a broad spectrum Google for 13603. Simply go to my website, thecommonsenseshow.com. Use our search engine, and you'll get the 12 articles where I've done an analysis of it, because it's changed over time with current events in terms of the applicability of what's going on. But you're right. 13603, to me, is the second most dangerous thing that Obama has done. The most dangerous was the NDAA, and that had congressional complicity. I mean, the Congress was really the culprit, but there's Obama. He could have vetoed it, and he didn't. And if people said, what's the NDAA? That's the ability to snatch you off the street without a warrant, without you doing anything wrong. You get no lawyer, no judge, no jury. You don't get a phone call. No one can ever hear from you again if that's what they want to do with you.
Yeah, and you're held indefinitely until the end of the conflict, and we're talking about the war on terrorism. So when does that ever end? You know, that's going to be with us for, you know, for eternity, I'm afraid.
When we're all dead.
Yeah, and that I confronted my U.S. Senator Cornyn over that. I confronted several congressmen. And, in fact, in the movie, the Armageddon movie, I actually wrote in the script the conversation I had with my congressman.
Oh,
and,
really?
And
is that a verbatim?
Yes.
Let me comment on that. Oh, no, yeah. I did not know that. I thought that was just part of the Hollywood script, and here we go, and kind of encapsulating all the problems, but making it into a scene that just reviews where we're at. But I didn't know that was based on a real event. Yeah, that was you in the very beginning of the movie, and it was powerful. I'm thinking, man, I'd love to hear something like that. Now, was this a private conversation, or was it public like you displayed in the movie?
That was private, and I politely challenged him with why he signed it. And they sign it every year. It's been renewed now since, I think, 2011, every December. And his response, and I quoted him in the movie, was, "Oh, that's just a military funding bill. You know, you have your facts sorely wrong." In fact, Alex Jones was the evil senator in that scene. Didn't he do a good job of that movie?
You know, what a great juxtaposition that was, to put Alex in that role as someone who was actually our enemy. Yeah, you know, I had to admit, I had a good little chuckle over that.
And he was pretty convincing, too. I told him, I said, Alex, you're too evil. Get a back off a little bit.
Well, you know, when you've been involved with these people, as Alex has, you, myself, Steve, Doug Hagman, you name it, we have their playbook. And it's kind of like, let me give the example. Here's a personal anecdote that'll explain it. I said for a long time to people, I continue to receive our daily newspaper called the Arizona Republic owned by Gannett Broadcasting, who's not our friend, and I said, I simply do it to see what the enemy's up to. Now, this week we canceled our subscription, and here's why, and I told my wife this. I'm done reading their playbook. I have their playbook memorized. I'm not the least bit surprised by anything I see. I would rather take you out to dinner than spend the money on this in the newspaper any longer. And that's kind of where we're at with him. I mean, you can anticipate them. This is why Alex could play it so well, simply because he's seen it for so long.
And you know, and another, I was going to say another interesting aspect is they're so blatant now, which tells me, because they know we're waking up, and yet they're so careless. You know, the Black Lives Matter stuff that's been going on. And by the way, I reach out to people of color and say, hey, look, we're brothers in Christ. There's no color between us. And they're trying to create enmity. They're trying to create a race war because it's chaos, and chaos is an opportunity to acquire power. So we have to reach out and love each other. I don't know if you do this or not, but my hobby is racing hot air balloons, and I was in Shreveport, Louisiana, the week that you put the warning out, and on the corners in Shreveport, there were black and a few white people standing with posters saying, we need to love each other, and it was a wonderful experience to see that in those places that are having such difficulties right now. So the blacks and the Hispanics and whites, we need to love each other and be careful to not be caught up into the race war that the elitists are trying to create. And again, the elitists need to diminish the U.S. in order for us to be willing to give up our sovereignty and our freedoms and our Constitution, what's left of it. And the race war is one more way that they are trying to acquire power. So we, all of us, need to reach out and love each other and be very vocal about it. And that brings up another point that I wanted to talk about tonight. They're trying to create a war with the Muslims. And this goes all the way back to Albert Pike, you know, what he wrote 100 years ago, you know, how they would bring about this global government. They want the Christians to be at war with the Muslims. Well, you know, I do business in the Middle East, and I have a lot of Muslim friends. Let me tell you what, none of them want to kill me, and I certainly don't want to kill them. It's these radicalized people, and they've been radicalized by the elitist. You know, sending drones in. You know, Obama has a meeting every Tuesday to decide who he's going to kill. Most people don't know that, but that's when he does the kill list, and then they send drones into weddings and all kinds of things with all sorts of collateral damage. In other words, children and women are killed, and people have nothing to do with terrorism, and then they support ISIS and give them weapons, and you know, this is all by design, and we all have to be careful not to be angry at the Muslim people. We got to love them too. I don't, obviously don't agree with their, you know, with their worldview and religion, but if we're going to be witnesses to them, if we're going to have an opportunity to tell them the truth that Jesus died for their sins and loves them, then we can't be at war with them. And again, we have to be awake. And it's all about perspective, which I'd like to talk about in a few minutes.
Well, it is. Let me say this about the Muslims. Some people disagree with me, and sometimes quite vociferously when I say to them, all the Muslims aren't this way. They're a lot like any other group. They want to just live their lives and be left alone by their government. But I would say this. The FBI figure of 10% radicalization is a joke.
Mm-hmm.
Because, and also, too, it may not be a joke in their home country, but they're selecting people to come here for a reason. And when you look at these immigrants who come in, and I say, where are the women? Where are the children? That's who I think of as people who need help, more than able-bodied men who look like they belong on the Syrian national soccer team. And yeah. I think that the ones that are coming into this country, they all need to be looked at under an eye of suspicion until they're properly vetted for their background. And if they can't vet them, I agree with you. Throw them out of the country. We don't owe other people around the world anything. We owe Americans preferential treatment. We're not under any obligation to open our borders, and I want to just say this and let you comment on it. We elect Hillary Clinton, the idea of a border will be long gone. There'll be no such thing.
Yep. But she's already talking about it. She's going to open up immigration. She's going to legalize everybody immediately. She's going to ramp up the Muslims who are coming into this country. So she's wide open about it. And, you know, I was having this debate the other day with someone who's got stuck on the moral point. You know, we owe a chance to these people that are from these bad places. You know, I agree with the moral argument, but I'm not a child. I'm an adult who's had to make very difficult decisions, and those decisions involve moral. They involve safety, financial, and you have to make a fully informed decision about this sort of thing. So I can agree with wanting to help the downtrodden. You know, I've got an orphanage that I built in India, and I feed 10,000 children a day in Haiti. But I don't put my home, and I'm talking about my country, at risk when I do these things. I don't have a right to do that. And these people that are in power right now, Obama's first job is chief executive of this country is to protect the citizenry. And he is actively and by design endangering the American people. And Hillary Clinton, of course, is going to double down on it. So these people are traitors. They're aiding and abetting the enemy of this country. And where are the Republicans? You know, why aren't they standing up and saying enough's enough? And even the, you know, we have the right to impeach Supreme Court justices, and we've done it in a long time. But when you have these justices vote against the law in Texas, by the way, I was involved in helping get the right to life law where you had to have doctors that were doing abortions signed up with a local. They had to have practice rights, forget the term, in a local hospital within a certain range, and the abortion facilities had to be equipped like an emergency clinic. And so we passed the law. It made a lot of sense. Supreme Court turned it down last week. And you know what? I've read the Constitution. There's nothing in there that says that states don't have the right to set health care standards in any kind of clinic, and yet they somehow found it in there. These are impeachable decisions, and there's no discussion. And again, if the establishment, and by the way, there's a lot of good Republicans, but the establishment Republicans, the ones that are bought and paid for by the moneyed interest, and the ones that are globalist-oriented, are traitors to this country. And if they weren't, they would stand up and say, you know, these judges should be impeached. They should stand up and say, this president should not only be impeached, he should be tried for treason. And you don't hear a word.
Well, there's a reason why. When we look at campaign contributions for their complicity in free trade agreements, health care, I mean, everything that is bad for the middle class, they sit back, they sit on their hands because the money keeps rolling in. And you know, really, I think the first thing that Trump needs to do, and I've said this many times on my show, when he gets into office, he needs to work on the American people to put pressure on the representatives to make it a felony for a corporation to make a political campaign contribution, because this is what it results in. We have government of the corporations and by the corporations, and to heck with the people.
Yeah, I think you called that fascism earlier.
Yeah, thank you.
That's the very definition of it, isn't it? Yeah, it's tragic. But again, the good news is, thanks to people like you, people are willing to listen and willing to ask questions now. And that's kind of all I want people to be. Trump has given us permission to question political correctness, and he's also given us permission to question things like 9/11. You know, I'm afraid I was guilty of deliberately staying in the dark on 9/11 until I retired 4 years ago, because I didn't want to think about it. I didn't have time to research it. And I'm sitting out on my ranch. I just retired a few weeks, and I was praying. And I said, okay, God, I got time now. I want you to peel back the onion. And the first thing that he showed me was the preposterousness of 9/11. You know, that third building, building number 7, that fell without even being hit by an airplane, it fell with the speed of gravity. And never in history, you know, from furniture burning. And it's preposterous. The hole in the Pentagon, and I'm a jet pilot. Jets don't fly into a building and leave no debris. And by the way, there were no suitcases, there were no bodies. And the hole in the building had no wings on it. So somehow the wings vaporized at 500 miles an hour. It's preposterous. And of course, now you've got these engineers and architects speaking up, the pilots speaking up. People are starting to ask questions. And there's so many false flags right now. I believe Dallas was a false flag. A lot of reason to believe that Baton Rouge was a false flag. San Bernardino was a false flag. Paris. They're sloppy, and they probably could have gotten away with it like they did with 9/11. But people are now, they know something's up, and they're asking those questions. And again, Trump has given us permission to ask those questions. And you know what? I'm going to ask them, and I'm going to encourage people to do. And I don't care how much ridicule that I get, which is their tool, by the way. If you ask something like that, they ridicule you. It's right out of the playbook of Rules for Radicals, too, by the way. Saul Alinsky was Obama's mentor, and Hillary knew him personally and did her graduate thesis on him. And of course, Saul Alinsky, who wrote Rules for Radicals, dedicated his book to Lucifer, the original rebel. And so these people, which are the ones at the top of the globalist food chain, are Satanists. And so if you think globalism is a good idea, and they're going to make us think that, because they're going to create war and financial chaos, and they're going to come out and say, you know, if we didn't have nationalism, there was one global power, you know, there'd be no war. People are going to be buying into that because they're going to be suffering. But that global government is going to be a Satanist government. It's going to have the Antichrist who's going to be indwelled by Satan. And so we don't want globalism. We don't want any part of it. And it doesn't matter how bad things get. We've got to teach people to stand against that. And I don't know how much we can do, because the Bible says at least for a short time they're going to acquire that degree of power. But I'm hoping for a remnant of Christians that maybe the state of Texas. We've got a good governor that's that I'm helping to wake up. He actually ordered the National Guard to monitor Jade Helm when it was going on in the state. I think it was partly because of my conversation with him. So if we can get a remnant, or at least a lot of people around this country to prepare, then we can save people from the mark. We can save people from the FEMA camps and the persecution that's going to come with a global government.
Well, I don't think we can escape the end days in its finality. But, Gary, I think it's possible that we have the ability, especially if we turn towards God collectively, to push it back for a while.
Yeah.
And that, to me, that's the hope that Trump brings, that as he continues to wake America up, I'm hoping that'll lead to a deeper self-examination, not just political, but, you know, in terms of your soul, and people begin to turn to God, because, as Steve Quayle likes to say, there's no physical solution to the problems we have right now, and I agree, it's all spiritual. So I think that, you know, Steve is right on the money with that. You know, it's hard to really, well, let me put it this way. It's hard for me to say what I just said, but the reason I said it is the Bible does not give us a time frame. It doesn't say this event happens and then this event happens. Now, once we're in the tribulation, it's pretty well laid out. I mean, when the clock's ticking, we pretty well know. But I do agree, all the signs are there. And I never, ever, ever thought that I would be living in these times. Did you? When you were younger, young man, did you think you'd be living in possible end times?
You know, I'm 61, and I became a daily Bible reader in my 20s, and You had the technology to destroy the Earth multiple times that, you know, wasn't around before, you know, really the late 50s, I guess. So I always thought maybe, unfortunately, I bought into the myth of the rapture. And by that, I mean the pre-trib rapture. Mm-hmm. And I don't know where your position is on that, but about 4 years ago, God began to reveal to me that we weren't going to get raptured out of here when it got difficult. And that's where I began to become preparedness minded. And the rapture gives a lot of people an excuse to not prepare. And I believe that, we're going to be raptured, but it's not going to be before the troubles happen. You know, it's going to be after we have endured a great deal of suffering. And so I've really put an effort into encouraging people to prepare and to seek truth. And I go back to the scripture about God putting delusion. I think it's 2 Timothy 2. When 50% of the population think electing Hillary is a good idea, you know, we are under delusion. You know, this woman thinks that Planned Parenthood should receive funding when they're in the baby body parts business. That's astounding. How can anybody think that electing a woman like this who supports the heinous criminality of marketing baby body parts should receive federal funding? So, you know, I'm hopeful for a spiritual revival, but realistically, America is at least part of Babylon the Great, and you know, God doesn't always on our schedule bring justice, but He does eventually, and our country is so sinful that I'm afraid judgment is going to come on most of us, and it's going to come hard. And looking at the newspaper every day, I think it's going to come quick.
I couldn't foresee. I'll back up. When I had my first radio broadcast, I used to tiptoe around the word fascism. And I look at how quickly things have unfolded, Gary. They're coming. I mean, right now, you know, on my WordPress, I have 6 articles in semi-states of completion because I can't begin to keep up with the major things going on. Forget the important things. I'm talking the major things, and they're coming at us at lightning speed.
Yeah, I agree. If people want some validation of what we're talking about, there's something else they can look at. Princeton and Northwestern did a study. It was published last summer, where they analyzed federal policy from 1981 to 2001, I believe it was. It was 20 years. And they looked at who influenced the policies of our federal government. You know, was it the voter, or was it moneyed interest? And Princeton is not a bastion of conservatism by any means, but they determined that all federal policy was determined by the moneyed interest. And so you have everything from vaccines that are clearly unsafe to pesticides. The Zika thing, by the way, is another false flag. You know, there's really no connection to Zika deformed babies that are being born with smaller heads. The scientist in South America who determined, for example, that's coming from the pesticide used to kill mosquitoes, and it's in the drinking water of the citizenry. But they're talking about Florida and Zika. Zika's been around for forever, and it's just a mild disease, and it's never been shown to have these things. But now they're lying and connecting it to this. It's an encephalitis, I forget the exact term, the smaller heads that these babies are being born with. It's just a lie, and they're going to have this vaccine for it in the near future, and that vaccine is going to have who knows what in it, because it'll be experimental, and they aren't required to test vaccines, thanks to our government. And so you just have, you're right, there are so many things, it's just hard to keep up with it.
Well, there really are. It's an awful thing. Well, I'm sorry, but we weren't able to make connections with Mike Norris here, and we certainly want to work to get him back on the show, but there is something I wanted to bring up, because as advertised, I became aware of the event pretty quickly. It hasn't received a lot of attention, but there's many people that I know, Gary, that think that Mike was the target of an attempted assassination. Can you address that for a moment?
Yeah, Mike was in an opening of our movie in Ohio a few weeks ago, and in fact, it was interesting. It was a packed theater at 1:50 in the afternoon, which was pretty cool. And he was, you know, thanking people in the 50 exit, and a gentleman in a gray suit, which is an odd form of clothing to wear to the movie theater, walked up to Mike and put his hand on his shoulder and said, "Interesting movie." And he kind of touched Mike's neck with his fingers. And later that evening, Mike was in the hospital, and he'd been, according to the doctor, poisoned with an external infection.
Oh, my.
And had to have massive steroid shots to open his throat back up. And, Mike's a really healthy person. And, you know, a lot of times if you're healthy and you get quick medical care, you know, even some serious toxins can be overcome, and I think he was blessed that he was able to do that. You know, as a result of that, neither he or I are going to openings anymore. It's too dangerous. And his dad, Chuck Norris, had a fit over it when he found out. He offered his security people, and our response was just, we just can't go out in public and promote these things. And, of course, Mike and I are both very well armed, and, you know, I'm a wealthy guy. I've got good security around me. Of course, you know, if they're serious enough, yeah, I think the question is, they try to kill him or just scare him? And I tend to lean towards it just scaring, and it didn't scare him. He said, you know what, it just motivates me to go out there and speak truth much more seriously, and so I'm really thankful that he's okay. And I tell you, it's kind of a testament to the movie. You know, Marageddon doesn't just show what happens to an EMP and you know, the destruction of our country. We had the guts to confront the government and their lack of action, and I believe come to the right conclusion. It's by design. I believe there'll be an EMP event that will diminish our country. You know, Henry Kissinger said this. He said that the only thing standing in the way of a new world order is a strong America. And so when you look at the open border, you look at the spending, which is destroying our currency and the debt our country's taken on, you look at the Black Lives Matter movement where they're trying to create a race war, you look at the unvetted Syrians. I mean, it just goes on and on and on. You know, these people are not stupid people, and they want us to think that they're just incompetent. But believe me, this is by design. And again, the Hegelian dialectic said that you acquire power by creating chaos, and when that chaos that you created allows you to come in because you have the power to solve it. And of course, solving it means taking away our guns, or incarcerating us for our own good. I mean, the list is pretty voluminous. So we're living in deadly serious times right now. And again, I'm just so glad that Trump is a spokesperson for truth. I just hope he survives, and I hope he doesn't compromise. Because the life of him and his family are in danger.
Yeah, I totally agree. And either way, at how the election starts to go, or the campaign starts to go. One of the frustrations, and I wanted you to address this, and we got about 2 minutes left, but one of the frustrations, and I think the only frustration people have with the movie, is because some of them haven't lived close enough to an opening to see the movie. Are there any plans to get this out on DVD so people who weren't lucky enough to see it and they live more remotely could do so?
Yeah, that's a great question, and it's the number one comment we have on our website. First of all, the movie is moving across the country now, region by region, and it's going to eventually be in most major cities. So go to the website, AmerigeddonTheMovie.com, and go to the link for theaters and see on a weekly basis if it's in a theater near you, and then get the word out. Now, this is more than a movie. It's a movement, and it's caught on beautifully because people realize that that they, their friends, or families need to know this information. So AmerigeddonTheMovie.com, go to the theater link. And then the good news is the movie will be widely available on DVD October 1st. It's going to be in Walmart and a number, probably Best Buy and a number of other stores. And we're also going to make the movie available through your website as soon as possible. So look for it by going to thecommonsenseshow.com. It won't be long. It'll be available to everyone, and we appreciate people's support in buying it and sharing it with their friends and family.
Yeah, absolutely. And when we get that URL or code, as it is, we'll be happy to get that up and promote it. And if you forget AmerigeddonTheMovie.com, you simply can link to it from my website in the center part of our webpage. We do have a movie banner link, and you can go right to it, and you'll see the menu on top and find a theater near you. But the good news is everyone is going to get to be able to see it. And I knew the answer to that question, but I've received a lot of emails on that, so I thought I'm kind of compelled to ask that. Well,
good.
Are you looking? Thanks. You know, I was going to ask a really dumb question, and I don't think we have time for the answer. I was going to ask, is there going to be a sequel? But I think that depends on what happens in November, doesn't it?
Yeah, I'm a little afraid that there may be an EMP event before we get a sequel out.
We have all, and I mean all my friends in the independent media, my colleagues, we've all talked about it. We feel it in our bones, Gary. We know they're going to try something. And I think our greatest fear is the EMP. And your movie has been right about everything else. I hope in this instance you're wrong, but the track record's on your side. Well, Gary, I want to thank you for joining us. Please extend my apologies for any miscommunication with Mike, and we're certainly want to get him back on the show, and we'll have you back too, certainly well in advance of the election. And I think a good time would be sometime, maybe in about a month, when your mom will get ready to kick off that DVD. I mean, I'm really looking forward to that. So thanks for joining us. And everybody else, we will be back in hour number two with John Cruise and the HSBC banking scandal and its link to this administration. Thanks, Gary.